you're glad that you know Him. Praise God. I'm glad that one day God called me. Call me by my name. Hallelujah. Call me by my name. The Bible said that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I like to win. I remember my wife telling our children one time when they were small, it doesn't matter whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. And when Mama left, I turned around and I said, kids, I don't believe that. I like to win. Come on, how many likes to lose? I don't care what it is. I like to win. And I don't have to be a loser because 2,000 years ago, the God of heaven wrapped Himself in flesh and gave it all away so I could be, He became poor that I could be rich. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus rebuked him one day for carrying stuff through the temple. When you come to the house of God, you're not supposed to bring stuff in and take it out with you. You're supposed to lay it on Him. Nobody leaves their troubles behind but the school bus driver. Hallelujah. Praise God. When you get out of here, there's still going to be idiots running our world. Come on. I'm not being critical. The guy's in Washington doing the job of two men, Laurel Hardy. Hallelujah. So we might as well just get in, and gas is still $1.40 a gallon. Still got to pay the rent. Still got to pay the utilities. Might as well just have revival and let God touch us while we're in here. Hallelujah. There was a sign in the exclusive Jewish part of Brooklyn. There was a sign the other day I thought was neat. They had a sign in the window, the Jewish part of the Orthodox and Hasidim, the radical Jews. It said, I'd rather take care of 1,000 Muslim terrorists than one Jew. And it said, Goldberg's Funeral Parlor. Hallelujah. That's one of them Social Security jokes. You get it when you're 65. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. He never came to build a monument. He came to build a movement. Come on, you need to tell your troubles tonight. I can touch Him. Come on, I can touch Him. Hallelujah. I can touch Him. And once you touch Him, everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Praise God. The key is touching Him. I said the key is touching Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. We love you. Good to be here with all of you. Feel the presence of God, to know Jesus Christ and the power of the resurrection, and to know I'm on my way to heaven. Come on, this thing blows up. I'm blowing out of here, man. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm on my way to heaven. Somebody told me that day, said, this world is a powder keg and it's fixing to explode. And I said, bring it on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's what I've lived for God for. Buying some stuff at Walmart. I told my family the other day, I said, when I die, I want you to bury me at Walmart. And they said, why, Dad? And I said, because I know my wife will come and see me 4 or 5 times a week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I was getting some stuff in Walmart. I was going on a trip. And the lady said, are you flying? And I said, yeah. And she said, you're not afraid to fly? And I said, no. She said, well, with all the stuff going on, you're not afraid to fly? And I said, no. That's right after they had the suicide bomber. And they say they come in pairs. Hallelujah. Said he never would work just laid around. I said he must have been a loafer. Hallelujah. But she said, you're not afraid that you're not afraid. What if something happens up there? And I said, you can't threaten me with glory. You can't scare me with glory, man, going home. You may scare me by taking my ice box away from me or putting Colonel Sanders out of business, but you're not going to scare me with glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ain't it fun to have the Holy Ghost? We got people in the body of Christ. We got two groups in the body of Christ that need to tighten up. We got people that think if you enjoy yourself, you're not really sanctified and saved. But he said, I come that you might have life and that more abundantly. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to get on the other group because I don't want to get you mad at me. Hallelujah. Isaiah, the 30th chapter, if you'll stand for the reading of God's Word. Hallelujah. In Brother and Sister Baxter Sweet. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isaiah, the 30th chapter. Boys, if you'll wet your finger to help you get through those pages. Verse 25. Now, it looks like when I read this, I'm going to preach on prophecy, but I'm not. I let Brother Baxter work that side of the street. Hallelujah. You got to just stay on that stuff all the time, and I'm not interested enough to stay on it like he is. Whatever's going to be is what it's going to be, and I'm just going to be there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every time I figure out who the Antichrist is, he dies or... When you got it, say, we got it, Brother Mahaney. And there shall be upon every high mountain, the 25th verse, and upon every high hill, rivers and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Everybody say, Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. In the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. I want to preach a little while tonight on when shall we be great. Hallelujah. When shall we be great? You may be seated. God bless you all. Hallelujah. Wife said, tell sister hello and tell the church that she apologized for her husband. I said, what are you talking about? She said, they'll know before the week's up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Had a lady tell me one night, she said, you're cracked in the head. And I said, that's where the light shines in, Mama. Come on. Let's get crazy for Jesus a little bit tonight. Come on, we stayed right within our little Pentecostal perimeters, and God wants to break us out and do something. I'm ready to have a revival. Come on, whatever it takes, I'm ready to have a revival. And I know it's been said, but we get a little cliche in Pentecost and we wear it out. If we ever lose the word awesome, I don't know how we'll ever describe anything. I come from the 60s where everything was far out, man. Come on, no matter what it was far out. Or shine on, baby. Or wow. I ain't got to where I could say wow backwards. Hallelujah. But we've said this until it's worn out and dog-eared. Our world will never be the same since September the 11th. And I don't believe it will. And I hate for those people that got killed up there in the towers and all that stuff. But I'd rather be in the church now than I would before, because there's been something that's happened. There's been a shift that's happened in the spirit realm. You see, earthquakes happen when the geological plates under the earth shift. And something has shifted in the last year or so. Come on, there's a spiritual earthquake that's taking place. I read something a while back, and I read it in two different places. I like to confirm what I say. But the Northridge earthquake in Los Angeles, California, in 1994, most of the pornographic and X-rated video and movie places set right on top of the fault of that earthquake. Hallelujah. And when that thing, when the plate shifted and ripped that thing open, it set back the pornographic movie industry about 7 years, they said. Come on. But the unique thing about it, standing across the street was some prayer warriors, and they was praying God shake this place at the minute the earthquake hit. Hallelujah. And the guy turned around and said, let's all confess the scripture, Acts 4:31. And when they said that, the earthquake hit. And Acts 4:31 said, while they prayed, the place was shaken. Come on, I don't believe God's made any accidents. I think God's trusted us with a tragedy. Come on. Isaiah was a temple priest, a temple Kohen, if you would, and all he ever saw when he went to the temple was veils and ministries and things. But after the tragedy of the king dying, God opened his eyes and he saw the train fill the temple, and he saw the Shekinah come down. Come on, God's trying to shake this last day church. I've been frustrated lately. I've been frustrated, and God spoke to me and said, the reason you're frustrated is because you've not got in step with me. Come on, he said, if you get in step with me, you'll realize I got my hand in everything. Come on.
time to worry. It's time to shout. You say, well, what if Russia bombs Taiwan? Well, what if we have revival between now and then? What about North Korea? Hey, what about evangelism? Come on, hallelujah. What about Pakistan and India? Well, what about reaching our city and having revival and having an explosion right here? See, Nazareth missed their miracles because the only Jesus they could ever conceive was the Jesus that had always been with them. And the only Jesus we know is the little one we've always worshipped, but he's getting bigger and bigger. It says in the book of Exodus that Israel got bigger than the ones that was trying to hold him captive. We're getting bigger than drugs. We're getting bigger than AIDS. Come on, we're going to get bigger than the homosexual community. It's not a day to fear, it's a day to shine. Come on. I said it's a day to shine. Hallelujah. It's a day to worship him. The curtain is lifted on earth's final drama. And he saved the best for last. The fact that you're here in the body of Christ says that God has confidence in you and God's going to do something for you. You want me to preach to you right now where this church is? God spoke to me today and told me where this church was in the spirit realm. Remember when Jesus spit on the ground? There's three blind men in the book of John. One has congenital blindness. That means he was born with it. And Jesus walked up and he spit on the ground. Come on, it's better than being blind. Revival's nasty sometimes. Revival's praying with people that smell like seven goats jumping rope. Come on, revival's praying with people smell like Lucky Strikes and Jack Daniels and Thunderbird. And Jesus took that, scooped up a handful of dirt, and Jesus spit on it. And he walked over and put it in that man's head. Now, a while ago, he was a decent-looking blind man, and now he's a blind man with two mud balls in his head. Dr. McFarland, hallelujah. Two mud balls in his head, and he's trying to keep him from falling out. He was standing where he could have took a few steps backwards and stepped into the pool of Bethesda. I've been to Israel 35 times. I know what I'm talking about. And the pool of Siloam or Siloach in the Hebrew means where I've sent you was over a mile and three quarters away. You say, well, where's this church at? This church is somewhere between where God put it in this man's head and where we get to where God sent us. Come on. God woke me up this morning in prayer, and God said, because of the effort that this man has put trying to shake the body of Christ and to trying to shake our world, he said, before Jesus comes, that revival is going to come back on this city and this church and give you the revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. You don't work without God knowing it. You don't labor without God knowing it. You people haven't given without God knowing it. And let me give you just another point. The reason Jesus spit on that mud was the worst insult you could give a Jewish man of the day was to spit on him. That's the reason all 71 members of the Sanhedrin spit on Jesus. That was an insult. You know why Jesus spit on that mud? That was that man's curse. He was spitting on his curse. Hallelujah. Come on, whatever keeps you from being a tither and a worshiper and a soul winner, you need to let him spit on it this week in the revival so God can raise you up. Come on, when are we going to be strong enough? When are we going to have the revival God wants us to have? Come on, when are we going to be what God wants us to be? We need character in these last days. Come on, we major on gifts, but we minor on fruit of the Spirit. If you advertise you got some cat here that can tell you where you lost your watch, the building will be packed. But you got somebody here that tell you where you lost your joy and your power and your covenant with God. Come on. See, we talk about, and let me give you a little tip. If you've always got a chronic headache, don't keep banging your head against the wall. See, we're like Proverbs 16. We want to take cities and we can't even take our own spirits. We got charisma instead of character. We need to learn to command our attitudes. Well, I'm just going to give them a piece of my mind. I just say what I think. That's no virtue, man. Real religion learned how to shut up. The reason some Pentecostals can't win a battle, they can't shut up long enough for God to fight. He said, if you'll hold your peace, I'll fight your battles. Come on. Hallelujah. We need to learn to dummy up and let God step into the arena and fight our battles in this end time. See, we need to come to the place where God says, I'm like you and you're like me. We do our spiritual aerobics, but we never change. Come on. He's called Savior 26 times in the New Testament and called Lord over 400 times. We like for Him to be our Savior, but we don't want Him to be our Lord. We need to learn to command our moods. Come on. Hallelujah. Well, I don't feel like worshiping. Well, I don't feel like being here. If I felt like what I've done, what I felt like, I'd be at home sitting back in my lazy boy rocking chair with Sister Nita. Hallelujah. Come on. Any gentleman ever go to work when you didn't feel like it? Huh? I almost had an honest job one time. I wouldn't even read the book of Job when I first got in church. I thought it was John. Hallelujah. I didn't make big money like you people in Indiana, but back in the 60s, I used to make $30,000 a night. That ain't bad for a quarter Jew street kid making 30 grand a night. I've got a raise since last night, hadn't I? Hallelujah. Come on, I was making more money as a sinner than the charismatics are. Hallelujah. You know what I want? I want God to change my attitude. I want to be pure before Him. I want God to touch me. Come on, the Bible said then that when you see the towers fall, God has always given us warnings. At the end of every millennium, God has always acted up. At the end of the first millennium, Enoch went up. At the end of the second millennium, Abraham came out. At the end of the third millennium, David went up. At the end of the fourth millennium, Messiah came down. At the end of the fifth millennium, Jerusalem fell to the hands of the Christians. At the end of the sixth millennium, God's doing awesome things. Come on. Hallelujah. God's going to show up and God's going to show out. Hallelujah. And God's going to spit on our curse. Remember when Jesus come out there and they comes in and they said, Lord, these people are hungry. God always forms and then He fills. God formed the sky and He filled it with clouds and birds. And hallelujah. God formed the water and He filled it with algae and tadpoles and cottonmouth. Hallelujah. I was baptizing a guy down in Louisiana one day, and I'm standing out in the creek there, the little bio, whatever they call it, and looked up and the cottonmouth water moccasin coming at me. When I jumped, the guy said, don't worry, Brother Mahaney. He came back under the water. And I said, yeah, but half of him, he's out of the water. We said, in Jesus' name, that snake went the other way. Come on. See, God's always got a way out of the problem. He said, when you come to your great temptation, that in the middle of the temptation, He said, He's going to make a way out. Somewhere between the hallelujah and the hallelujah, if you're walking with God, He'll snatch you out of that business. And Jesus set him down. He said, set him down in companies of 50. Come on. God's a God that's got everything in control. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He's getting 50. Hallelujah. And he gets 50 and puts them over. He's preaching Pentecost to them because every Jew, when they said 50, they were saying the word Shavuot, which means the 50th day. 49th is the 50th day after the waving of the sheath of the first fruits. He was preaching Pentecost. And he sat down and he said, bring the bread to me. 2 loaves and 5 fish. 2 is a number of agreement. 5 is a number of grace. Bring it to me. Hallelujah. And he took the bread and he blessed it. Baruchata karonai Eloheinu melech kolom lakim nin aritz amin. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. That's a Jewish blessing over bread. And he blessed it. See, the key to last day revival is we got to take not enough and put it in the hands of more than enough. In our hands, it's not enough. In His hands, it's more than enough. In our hands, we can't do it, but in His hands, He can. Hallelujah. Come on, we got to take not enough. And watch this. He's very explicit about it. He said, I want you to gather up all the fragments. Don't you leave one fragment. Why? Because when you go to the next trial, you gather up the fragments of the trial you just came through. Come on, then you don't have to go into the next trial empty-handed. You got all the fragments of the trial you went through. Come on, if you've been healed once, it's not as hard to believe it for healing again. Come on, if you gather up the fragments from the first trial and you get through the second trial, then you get into the third trial, you got all the fragments from the first and second trial. And finally you end up with 12 baskets full. That's apostolic authority. You got enough power to look at the devil and tell him to get out of your face. Hallelujah. Come on, God's got a last day revival for this church. He said when you see the towers fall, that there's going to be water break out on every high place and every mountain. He said, we're going to shine like we've never shown before in our life. I've been in Israel, seen the moon hanging in the sky while the sun was still going down. See, both sun and moon share the same celestial beauty, but the moon is only fulfilled when she reflects the light of the sun. That's how she fulfills her destiny, is reflecting the light of the sun. We got to reflect him. Come on, I said, we got to reflect him. Everywhere we go, we need to reflect him. Come on. And God will send people across our path that's hungry for the light. And when they see us, they'll say, that's it. I was sitting in St. Louis Airport a couple of years ago, Concourse C. You've been there. And a gal walked by, and you couldn't tell if she was in the dress trying to get out of it or out of it trying to get in it. She walked by, and every man in the airport noticed her. You say, did you? I'm saved, not blind and dead. Hallelujah. Not going to lie about it. She walked by and I said, good job, God. Hallelujah. I didn't lust after her. And I just went back to reading my Bible. I read my scriptures out loud. When I was reading Psalms, the first chapter, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I read it out loud. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. The Bible said, faith cometh by hearing. When you hear it, it does something to your faith. It implants itself. And all of a sudden I noticed she came, and the woman walked this way. She turned around, walked back, and came and sat down beside me. I mean, real up close. And I said, whatsoever he doeth, shall prosper. Hallelujah. And I could hear her crying. She said, sir. And I said, what? Hallelujah. I can just take so much temptation if he just keeps. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, are you a preacher? And I said, yes. Hallelujah. And I was thinking, God, don't let Urshan or Cunningham or somebody walk by me talking to her. She said, what kind of preacher are you? And I said, I'm a humdinger, lady. Hallelujah. Nobody gets themselves in these kind of messes but me. And she started crying. I said, why are you crying? And she said, I'm not catching a plane. She said, I've got a terminal illness. I'm dying. She said, I don't know what to do. My husband has left me. Said he didn't want to be married to a sick woman. And she said, I don't know, God. And I was praying this morning. And I said, God, help me. She said, if you go to the airport on Concourse C, you'll find a man reading his Bible. Come on. God's going to do some things in these last days. I said, God's going to do some awesome things in these last days. Come on, we're not some apostolic. He didn't leave the apostolic church here, pure in our doctrine and holy before God just to stumble around and wonder what's going to happen. I believe God's got a last day revival, and we're going to shine for him like we've never shown before in our life. See, the moon doesn't have any ability to shine on its own. It only reflects the sun. Genesis 1:27 said God created us in his image. The word image there is reflection. We need to learn how to shine. Say, well, how do you shine for him? Like Moses, you've got to get up there in his presence and stay in his presence. Come on. And the darker it gets, the brighter we're going to shine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, we're going to be bad to the bone before we get out of here. God's going to do some things in us that's going to blow people's minds. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned? And Adam began to hide himself. And God came to the garden and said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? In the Torah, in the Hebrew Bible, it doesn't say, Adam, where art thou? It said, Adam, where have you become in relationship to me? See, God's looking for his church. Come on. Heard about a woman that had one of these death experiences, and they brought her back, and while she was out dead, I guess, Sister Baxter, God told her she had 50 years to live. So she got out of there and got her a tummy tuck and a liposuction and a nose job and dyed her hair jet black and got some green contacts on. Got her one of those split skirts and all that stuff, trying to be foxy. And walked out in the street and got hit by a car and got killed. She said, God, I thought you said I had 50 years. God said, I didn't recognize you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Come on, God's looking for his church. I said, God's looking for his church. God's looking for his people. I said, well, I don't know. Listen, faith always starts out before you know how it's going to come out. Come on, we're going to get on fire for him. Come on, I believe God's got a last day anointing and a last day Pentecostal fire for this last day church. Come on. The anointing God poured on David wasn't just for that moment. When Samuel walked up in the front yard of Jesse and said, Shalom. And Jesse said, Shalom Alechem. Mashalom Ka, how are you? Totoda, how are you? And they went on and on and on and on and on through their endless Hebraic greetings and all that stuff. And finally he said, I've come to anoint one of you sons. And David come up in the yard there, and he took that ram's horn and began to pour it down through the curly locks of David, and it began to drip down off his little hooked nose down into to his shepherd's tunic, and he said, Hine Hamashiach Adonai, behold the Lord's anointed. And he anointed David for then, but the anointing is never for just where you're at. The anointing is where God calls you to. Come on, God's not anointed us just so we can come to church on a Thursday night and shout down here. God's anointed us because he's got a destiny for this last day church in the end time. So, well, you don't know what I've been through. Don't you let one little niche in your life affect your destiny. Come on. Well, Brother Mahaney, you don't know what I've been through. Come on. We've all been through it. But I'm not going to let one little old thing affect my destiny, because my destiny is bigger than my little problem right now. Come on. Well, somebody didn't treat me right. Don't you build you a stronghold and move into that mess. Come on. I've had people, you won't believe this, but your pastor can confirm it. I've had people that got aggravated with me before. I've been criticized. I was down preaching for Jeff Arnold a while back, and Jeff's a good brother, but he's a nut, he's a maniac. And God's put he and I together so I can give him class. Hallelujah. And Patty, Jeff's wife, is doing prison ministry. And my wife does prison ministry. She said, Charlie, does Nita ever get afraid going in preaching to those convicts and inmates? I said, do you ever get afraid, Patty? She sat there and she said, does Nita? And I said, do you? And she thought a minute. She said, no. And I said, why? And she said, nobody that me and Nita works with in the jail is as bad as the guys we're married to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, I've been criticized. Come on. I've been criticized. I preached in Mississippi one time, and I got up and talked about my grandma Golden, that on my mother's side, on that side, that we were Jewish, and a guy came up to me and said, there's only thing, one thing we hate worse than blacks in Mississippi, and that's Jews. And I said, and you claim to be a Christian? You have Jesus in you? And he said, yeah, I got Jesus in me. I said, you got a Jew in you, ignorant. Hallelujah. But I'm not going to let one little thing hinder me. Come on. I'm not going to let one little niche in my life stop me from my destiny, because God's called me to a destiny. Hallelujah. Come on. The Bible bothers me.
I don't care who wins a washer and dryer on The Price is Right. I don't care who's on Oprah or whatever her name is. I don't care what rednecks on Jerry Springer that's a nun that used to be a truck driver that had a change that now is running a fireworks stand with combat boots on. I don't care about all that. I don't care who wins the country music award. I never could get drunk enough to like country music when I was in the world. But scriptures bother me. And I like to take my Bible, just get in the presence of God and say, God, you show me and you anoint. Boy, the Bible, Brother Baxter and I were talking today while we was buffeting our body. We're almost like Paul. He buffeted his, we buffet ours. Hallelujah. I thought he was going to the electric chair tomorrow the way he was eating. Hallelujah. Or maybe that's putting prohibition on dessert or something. I wouldn't get any more after today. Hallelujah. You guys know how much I respect and love him, or I wouldn't pick at him like that. I told Billy Cole, I said, if I love somebody and I really like him, I pick at him. He said, boy, you must love me, Charlie. Hallelujah. But God wants us to have a knowledge of his word. And I said, God, explain this to me like I was a third grader. He said, you think pretty highly of yourself. And I said, now what about this ark? When it comes to Nacon's threshing floor. You ever been to a threshing floor? I visited. I looked them up. I got a cab one day and went to three different threshing floors. Threshing floors are smooth. No reason why an ox would stumble. And that's the way a man. They put the slowest moving thing to pull the presence that you can get. Come on. I've never seen an ox jump or run or move. It just... Come on. And we have been so far behind in the UPC, we think we're coming in first. And it came to Nacon's threshing floor. And the threshing floor is a place of separation. And that's where it stumbled, at separation. Come on, God wants you out of that world. I said, God wants you all the way out of the world. Egypt, the word Egypt in the Hebrew is Mitzrayim. It doesn't mean just a geographical location. It can mean any tight place that you get into. God wants you out. And I said, well, God, what about when that thing began to tremble? What about when it began to shake and it started to fall and Uzzah reached up and touched it? He said, I killed him because he was stopping my movement. He said, there's people that's dead in choir lofts and pews all across the church because they stopped my move. He said, if I want to tremble, you let me tremble. If I want to shake, you let me shake. If I want to fall, you let me fall. I don't need flesh stopping me. Come on. Remember when David brought the ark back? Remember where it said David danced before the Lord with all his might? How many knew that was in the Bible? David danced before the Lord with all his might. Doesn't say that in the Hebrew Bible. It said David danced face to face with God. See, there's a difference between, I always considered God up in heaven watching David down there boogieing. Looked like he's on Soul Train or something. Hallelujah. But it wasn't like that. God was dancing face to face with David. Come on. See, God wants to dance with you tonight. And God will get down and dance with you right in the middle of the congregation. Hallelujah. See, the reason we don't want to dance with God, because when God dances with you, you always have to let God lead. Hallelujah. Come on. My sister taught me how to dance. If you're taping this, don't tape this part. But my sister took, I had to take my sister to my 8th grade prom. You can't get any dorkier than that, have to take your sister. Hallelujah. And my sister taught me how to dance. And she limps to this day. In my neighborhood, we were so poor you had to wear the hand-me-downs of your older sibling. Anybody ever done that when you was growing up? Well, the problem with me, my older sibling was my sister.
You go to school in the hood, man, you got saddle oxfords and a can-can on. You got to be bad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the reason Michael, we've always figured out, wondered Michael, and I've heard so many sermons on Michael, and it said in the Mishnah that Michael never danced with David because Michael couldn't hear the music. And to that point, men didn't dance. Before that, you don't find where men danced in the Scripture. And Michael couldn't hear the music. I was coming in on a flight, and I was supposed to catch one flight in Los Angeles and head up north. I was going to Stockton to preach for Brother Haney when he was pastor at Christian Life Center Stockton. And somehow or other, our flight got messed up, and we landed. And they said, we're going to have to put you up for the night here in L.A. And pastors are never happy when you call them and say, guess what? I'm not there when it's 7:15 and the service starts at 7:30. And they said, you want to talk to Brother Haney? And I said, no, I don't want to talk to Brother Haney. I want to talk to Chester Mitchell, and he can talk to Brother Haney. Hallelujah. So they took me downtown to a hotel in Beverly Hills. They said it was a hotel where they filmed that movie Pretty Woman in. We don't go see those movies, and we don't bring them to our house, so that it's, I don't know what they're talking about. They showed me pictures. Some big-lipped woman there made a movie about it. And they put me on the 21st floor. I went up 20, and they said, anything you want. I like those deals. Sign the ticket. Dinner starts at 7 o'clock, but if you're hungry before dinner, sign the ticket. So I ordered a couple hamburgers and ordered onion rings and an order of fries and some potato salad and a bowl of soup and some pecan pie and some ice cream. I said, that'll hold me till we can get down to dinner. Hallelujah. And I walked over and pulled back the window, 21 floors down on the curtain, 21 floors down, they were having a dance on the veranda down below. About, it looked like about 100 people out there just a boogie. And you couldn't hear the music. I laughed at those idiots. I went over and laid on the bed laughing. Come on. And I got up, went back, pulled back the curtain. I stood there and I laughed at him. I was in the room by myself just cracking up. And I stood and ate the cheeseburger and laughed at him. I thought, you idiots. Come on. And that's why people come into our service and they don't understand what law is going on. They don't hear the music like we hear the music. Come on. But if you can hear the music, you understand why we got our hands raised. Come on. If you can hear the music, we understand why we worship. Come on, we're not dancing to any music that man can. I'm not talking about getting the choir jamming faster and faster. I'm talking about a music in your spirit. I'm talking about something you dance with God. Come on, you don't have to worry about being in step. See, the thing about when you dance with God, you got to take off your outward of what everybody thinks you are, like David did. Come on. You can't dance with God with all the robes of your titles and who you are and who everybody thinks you are. They introduced me the other night to preach, and they said, this is Brother Mahaney. He's a director of prison ministries, a coordinator of outreach to the Jewish community, and all the anti-Semites in the church need to repent, but if they don't love Israel, hallelujah. I'm not sure they're going to be saved if you don't love Israel. I'm on the Multicultural Commission. I'm on the Evangelist Commission. And I forget what else. I think I'm a Heisman Trophy winner or something like that. I can't remember what all. I was introducing all that, and God said, you're just going to have to get up there and be Charlie. He said, but because I can't. If you get out there dancing around in the robes of who everybody thinks you are, you'll trip and bust yourself. Hallelujah. 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 What is it, McFarland? Hallelujah. See, that's why David had to come out. He had to lay his crown aside and get his kingly mantle off. Because when you get in the presence of God, you're just like a child. Oh, I love to play in your presence. You know what? God spoke to me and said, the problem, my children don't like to play in my presence as much as they should. He said, they need to get out in my presence and not worry about what anybody else is saying. So they need to learn how to get out and worship and get in my spirit and play in my presence. They need to learn how to dance before me. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. I'm talking about dancing with God. I'm talking about the God dance. Come on. You can be crippled and dance with Him. You can be deaf and dance with Him. Come on, you can be in a wheelchair and dance with Him. It's not getting the music up. It's getting the spirit in tune. I come from the generation of the 60s where we go to a club and I'd stand on one side of the club, my date would stand on the other side of the club, and we'd wave at each other. And we'd swim to each other or do the mashed potatoes. Or I used to have some pretty cool moves. Hallelujah. Come on. Then they get a new dance out. Everybody doing a brand new dance now. Come on, baby. I used to hang out at a classy joint called the Bloody Bucket. You ever been sitting in a chair and lean back in it and just start to fall back when you catch yourself? That's how I felt all through the 60s, man. Hallelujah. Used to wear a beard and had my hair bushed out, looked like I kissed a light socket. And wore a black patch over my eye. Pull my beard up and chew on it. Fur coat with no sleeves in it. 26 tattoos. If we didn't have anything to read in jail, the guys read me. But we could boogie. Come on. We could boogie. Now, my mother, well, I wasn't raised in the church. We didn't know much about the church. We used to break in the Catholic church and drink the communion wine about closest. We used to go to the Salvation Army and get our wardrobe. And you ever wear those shoes that you get at the Goodwill of the Starvation Army and the nail comes out of the sole and they flap? You ever wear them shoes where they flap? Hallelujah. Then you get both of them out, flap, 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 flap. And it's winter, you got corduroys, flap, 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 flap. And they come on. It's hard to get away from something when you like that. Hallelujah. But my mother's favorite movies was Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. Now, Fred Astaire was just about as big around as this microphone stand. And Ginger Rogers was a pretty little blonde. I was about 8 or 9, but I was old enough to recognize she was a pretty blonde. And I was on an airplane one day, and I picked up they wouldn't let me get up and get my Bible because we was in a storm. Lightning hit it, and a ball of fire come right down the middle of the plane. Well, just a loud explosion. The plane went up sideways like that. And the guy sitting beside me had reached in his briefcase and got out a Playboy or a Penthouse, whatever the perverts look at. And I reached over and got my Bible and put it beside his. And that lightning hit, and he pulled that thing off and put it back in his briefcase. Hallelujah. Lightning sticks to hit this old world, and the Bible's going to come back center stage where it belongs. And I was reading an article, Fred Astaire. He said Ginger Rogers and I were in such a sync together. We were in such spiritual and physical unity that I never had to tell her, Ginger, you spin or you dip, whatever you do when you dance. Hallelujah. He said, we danced on steps. We never missed a step because we was in, and all of a sudden God spoke to me and said, what if my church could get in that place with me? What are we going to do if we got 5 million pornographic websites on the internet? Come on. We're going to have the Holy Ghost. I said, we're going to have the Holy Ghost in this end time. And he said, and there was a certain time in Ginger's life when Fred would stand back. Anybody ever back before you got in church any of those Fred Astaire movies? Hallelujah. Anybody seen some since you've been? No, hallelujah. If you're going to sin, don't blow it on a Ginger Rogers movie. Get Clint Eastwood or something. Hallelujah. God. Go to hell over Fred. Hallelujah. But God said, what if my church could get in this place? There was a point in the dance that Fred would just stand back and fold his arms and Ginger would go for it, man. And God said, what if my church could get in this place? That I could trust him in any situation. I was preaching in one of these churches where the guy preaches against everything but fresh air. And he told him, said, if you'd listen to what Brother Mahaney's saying, he said, I'd never have to preach another outward standard again, because if you walk with God, you want to please God. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the God dance. I'm talking about us shining like we've never shone before in our life. You know what? I'm so serious about dancing before the Lord. If I didn't know how to do it and I couldn't do it, I'd get over here by myself and I'd put on a tape that really jammed. And I'd practice till I could dance before the Lord. I'm that serious about it. Come on. Come on. Say, well, you're nuts. They're flying me all over the world. What are you doing, Bubba? Come on. It took me 6 weeks to learn how to do the twist in the 60s. What was the guy's name that sung the twist? Chubby Checker. Who said Chubby Checker? Did you say it, Red, or did Goober say it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Chubby Checker. He used to have run around with a buddy of mine in the motorcycle gangs named Red. He didn't have red hair, but he read a book. He was the only one of the bunch that ever read a book, so we called him Red. Hallelujah. Ain't it fun going to church? Come on, ain't it fun going to church? You thought you were going to be like your mother-in-law moving in. Hallelujah. God is so awesome. It took me 6 weeks to learn how to do the twist. Come on, baby. We was a generation of, we wore our clothes out from the inside out. Let's do the twist and round and around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, you don't need TV. Just need me to come to your house about once a week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God wants us to get in a place with him. Hallelujah. I just got up in the motel today and I said, God, I can't take it any longer. I was praying the scripture. I take the first 2 hours of my day. If I'm home, my wife says, he can't be disturbed. Unless it's a, I said, don't disturb me for any circumstances the first 2 hours. Unless it's a love offering. Hallelujah. We've all got perimeters. Hallelujah. 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 And I confess the scripture. I got to confessing the scriptures today. Well, there's something about confessing those scriptures into your spirit. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. How come you guys aren't sitting together? Hallelujah. Okay, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wouldn't sit with him either. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And I got to feeling God so much, I said, God, you're going to have to turn this off. And I just got up in the motel room, dark. I prayed, God, don't let me kick something with my ingrown. Hallelujah. I was in a debate with a guy one night that didn't believe in healing. He said, Mr. Mahaney, if you can heal for your gospel, why don't you go to the hospital and heal everybody? I said, do you think your gospel can save? He said, yeah. I said, why don't you go save everybody? Yes, easy to think of after I thought of it. Ain't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love him. And I just got up in that motel. That's what. Hallelujah. I felt his funny arms around me. Remember when they came back? And remember when they said, those Jewish men, oy vey, Yeshua. Somebody asked me today, I said, is it okay if I call him Yeshua when I pray? Sure it is. That's his Hebrew name. It's okay to call him Jesus. It's okay if you're Spanish, call him Jesus. Or what is that, what they call him in Spanish? Jesus? Jesus? Well, they complimented me. I was preaching in Spanish a while back, and they kept calling me Gordo. That's some kind of... What? Is that, what does Gordo mean? Fat.
Remember when they came back to Jesus and they said, the demons are subject to us through your name. And Jesus said, don't shout because the demons are subject. You shout because your name's recorded in heaven, and I saw Satan fall like lightning. Then if you read that, it said, Jesus rejoiced for the space of an hour. For an hour, Jesus rejoiced. There's two Hebrew words for rejoice. One is Simcha. And there's Simcha Torah. Brother Eddie, where you rejoice over the Torah at the shul. Simcha Torah. And that's a quiet rejoicing. That's when you give your pastor something on the anniversary. And he's, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What am I going to do with the tie with a picture of Smokey the Bear on it? Hallelujah. My grandson came to me that day and said, Papa, you're the greatest grandpa in the world. And I said, how much more do you want? He said, $3. I spent $28 trying to a Chuck E. Cheese for him to win a 89-cent pair of Chinese handcuffs. He come back and he said, I don't want any money, Papa. I said, I just want to hug you and tell you you're the greatest papa in the world. I said, thank you. And he walked away. And that's it. Simcha. Then there's another word for rejoice, and it's gila. Gila. And that means to jump up in the air and clap your hands and leap and spin and holler as loud as you can. Or you're jumping up in the air and spinning and clapping your hands. And it said Jesus gilad for the space of an hour. Some of us are too proud and too, but the God of heaven wrapped in flesh out there boogied because he saw Satan fall like light. But he wasn't dancing over them. He was dancing because about 50 days later there was going to be some guys going to an upper room that was going to learn how to dance with God and walk with God, because he's not going to be just with them. He's going to be in them. See, I got him in me. He said, now wait a minute, guys. He said, I'm going someplace you can't go. But he said, I'm going to tell you this. When I go, it's expedient. It's better for you if I go away. He said, up to this point, I've taken care of everything you need. But he said, there's coming a time when you won't ask me anything, but you'll ask the Father in my name. Come on. Sometimes do that and say, Father, I'm coming in the name of the covenant sacrifice named Jesus. And just get in his presence. Come on, say, Father, I'm coming into your presence in Jesus' name. And lift your hands and move into his presence right now. Come on, hallelujah. Father, I'm coming into your presence in Jesus' name. Father, I'm coming into your... Father, I'm coming into your presence in Jesus' name. I'm coming into your presence in Jesus' name. I felt a special anointing ever since we walked into this service. Pastor Baxter felt it. God's looking for somebody that'll step out and be his partner, dance with him a little bit. I'm not talking about working the music up, getting out here and getting you worked up in some kind of a camp meeting frenzy. I'm talking about just moving out in the dimension, saying, God, I love you so much. I want to be in step with you. If you step here, I'm putting my foot here. If you step here, I'm putting my foot here. But God, I'm going to let you lead. Dance face to face with God. Come on, get up close to him. You can't dance face to face with somebody and not be close. Come on, move up close to him. Come on, he'll feel that hunger that's been in your heart for so long.
You'll feel that emptiness, that bump you feel in the spirit. Every time you try to get, you feel that bump in the spirit. He's wanting you to get closer to him. Gosh, oh, God, help us. I want everybody to make their way. I don't want you to hurry to the front. I want you to make your way to the front, but I want you to come with Jesus. He may want you to just stop and worship him a little while. Come on, David brought that ark to Zion, and David stopped, and David took six steps, and he got beyond himself. Come on, he got beyond his humanity. Come on, get in the presence of God. Just come and stand around the front. Come on. Come and stand around the front. Come on, get beyond that bump in the spirit. That's that break that the enemy's trying to keep you out of your destiny. I want everybody in the house come. Come on, move up close, folks. Don't come and stop at the pews. Move up close. Always stay close to the altar. Always get close to where the fire hits. Always get close to where the anointing is. Listen to me just a minute before we go any farther. Listen to me just a minute. I want to get something clear in your mind. It's been about 4 or 5 years maybe since I've been here in Richmond to preach in the old church. I've got enough confidence in Irvin Baxter. If he tells me something, and I was in Stockton, California, and I was walking out of the hotel, Plum Tree Plaza, and I got out, and the girl behind the desk there goes to Stockton Bible College. She says, Brother Mahaney, you got a call. That was Brother Baxter. And it was 4 or 5 years ago, maybe. And just before conference, I was in prayer, and I promised Brother Cunningham that I'd pray for him last night of the conference, because he was feeling the pressure of that. And I was down praying, and I got through praying, going through all the motions, and I was just sitting there in the presence of God. I wasn't standing up, but I was sitting in the chair, and I was just dancing with him. And all of a sudden, just as clear as anything, I said, God, it's been a while since I've been to Richmond at Baxter's. And God spoke to me and said, you'll see him at conference. I walked over and Brother Baxter said, it's time for you to come to Richmond. Now listen. There's nobody in this world I respect more than Brother Pat. And he said, you need to come to Richmond, Charlie. And we're Brother Baxter and Brother Mahaney, but we're together. I said, okay. Irvin, when do you want me to come? I said, I can come maybe after. He said, no, not after the first year. He said, I want you 1st of November. And I had to cancel two things to be here. I'm in the will of God, number one, because God told me when I met Brother Baxter at conference at the end time booth that he would ask me. Number two, I'm in the will of God because God laid it on him to ask me. So we're here in the will of God. Why have just another meeting? Why schlep around and go through the motions and have another meeting and you walk out of here and feel that bump in the spirit? You just can't get into that healing. God wants to heal everything in here that needs healing. Boy, God wants to get his arms around you so bad, he can't hardly stand it. Now I want you to press up real close to him and face to face with him. In the presence of Jehovah. Well, if it's the will of God, and God told Brother Mahaney, and it's the will of God, and God told Brother Baxter to ask Brother Mahaney, then it must be the will of God for me to get what I need in this revival. Come on, if God orchestrated this thing and God put all the logistics together, it must be the will of God for me to get what I need in this revival. Come on, and you're not going to get it sitting back. You're not going to get it standing in the window, Michael, and not hearing the music. I'll tell you how you're going to get it. You're going to have to walk down the steps and open your arms and step into the arms of your Messiah and say, God, I want to dance with you. I want you to hold me through the hurt. I want you to hold me through the storm. Come on, get into it a little bit. Come on, get in. I want you to move around to the music. Come on, get into it a little bit. Come on. Come on, get into it a little bit. Hallelujah. Come on, get lost in His arms a minute. Don't let that little trial that you stumbled into stop your destiny. Step into the sink. Step into the flow of the music. Come on, step into what the world can't hear. Get into His spirit. Come on, God's going to open up Jericho that's been shut up. There's things in your life that circumstances have shut up, but God's going to open it up as we dance the God dance tonight. See, some of you still hadn't got it yet. God wants you to get into His arms and let Him hold you through the storm. Come on, close your eyes and don't worry about anybody else. Come on, let Him open it up. Let Him open it up. Let Him open up that dimension. Come on, let Him open it up. Listen to me, church. Just close your eyes and keep your hands in the presence of God. Now listen. Here is the mind of God. I get nervous, Pastor Baxter, when I go to conferences and preachers always say, God told me this and God told me that. But God told me. Here's how He wants us to close this service tonight. I want you to worship God for 60 seconds and with everything. How many believe you can worship God for 60 seconds? Come on, you got to get moving. How many believe you can worship God for 60 seconds? Come on, how many believe you can worship God for 60 seconds? God wants us to worship Him for 60 seconds tonight. And God wants you to worship Him in a way that your flesh won't like it. God wants you to worship Him in a way that will offend your flesh. Come on, God wants you to worship Him in a way that when you start doing it, your flesh will say, hey, don't do this. They're going to think you're nuts. Come on. You're going to look crazy. No, you're not going to look crazy, not if you hear the music. Come on. Come on. I want you to worship. Come on. For 60 seconds in a way that your flesh won't like it. Come on, are you ready? Come on, let's worship Him. For 60 seconds, come on.
Come, let us sing. Let us rejoice. Oh, come.
Harris and Myrna. Come on. Come on, dance with him. Come on, dance with him. Church, listen to me. We're real close to a breakthrough tonight. Come on, we're real close to a breakthrough. Listen to me. How many's got some things you've been asking God for a long time? Come on, we call them layaway prayers in Arkansas. You got some, I want you to act before God just exactly like you would be acting if that loved one, that child, that sister, that healing, whatever you've been asking God all this time for, if it had just happened, I want you to act by faith and show God how you're going to act when He does it. Come on. Come on. Let's act up before Him. Healing. Anybody that wants a special touch from God, I want you to get right over here in the middle right now. You seeking the Holy Ghost. If you're praying with somebody, bring them over here in the middle right now. Come on. You want a special touch. Come on. Quickly. Quickly. Come on, a special touch. Right over here, Mom. Come on. Come on right over in here. God, I want something special from God. Maybe you've been seeking God for that healing dimension. Come on. Come on, where's all these people wanting the Holy Ghost a while ago? All right. Everybody say in Jesus' name, let a dimension of God's anointing come into this place in Jesus' name. Now respond to the anointing with worship and praise. Come on, respond to the anointing. Respond to the anointing. Somebody say, let the spirit of rejoicing come on. Let the spirit of rejoicing.